Yo, what's up, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to episode 7 of the F1 Card Strategy Show. We got a close-up on my face here if you're watching. That's because I'm about to bring in my awesome co-host, Greg Longtoe from Montreal, Canada. He is a huge F1 guy. Greg, welcome to the show, my man. That's better. Now you don't see my face. You see Greg's much better-looking face. How you doing today, man?
I don't know about the awesome part, but I know about the co-host part, and that's well enough for me, my man.
Well, you got a lot of knowledge. You're a very humble guy, and I'm always excited to talk to you. So, again, I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. For those of you who are new to the channel, the Sports Card Strategy feed, we're really, really happy to have you. This is episode 7 of the F1 Card Strategy Show. Greg and I have been friends for a while now, and he did a few episodes of the Sports Card Strategy Show with me, and then we got to talking, and he's really into soccer and F1, so we've made him our host of the F1 Card Strategy Show, and he follows it much closer than I. So the show is usually me picking his brain and us taking some audience questions. So I was prepared to talk about a few topics today, but we're gonna have a short episode. We're just gonna go a little under 30 minutes, which is unique for us. Usually we talk for a long time. So I want to get right into it, Greg. You wanted to talk a little bit about do a little price analysis on some cards. So why don't you kick us off? I'm gonna give you the floor, and you can kind of talk about basically what you're seeing right now with F1 cards, what the trends are, and what you think it means for investors, like F1 card investors. We talk about collectors a little bit, but the main focus of the show, all of our shows, is really on, you know, how you can make money in the short term and long term. So Greg, what are you seeing out there, man?
Well, actually, if we talk collectors versus investors for now, it's a collector's party. So if you want to have, let's say, collectors that have joined the F1 market in 2021 or 2022, let's say you've been a big Lewis Hamilton fan, you've been a big Charles Leclerc fan, it was kind of hard to afford these cards that you couldn't afford because of the speculation and the rise of prices and everything else. And right now, I mean, with the correction of the F1 market, it's been kind of a party. I've been surprised myself to see some of these cards dropping so low. Like, look at Lewis Hamilton's Sapphire base portrait. You could have bought one for, let's say, $2,000 6 months ago, all again in USD. And now this card is well under $1,000. And not even talking about PSA 9 that is not even reaching what it was selling raw just a couple of months ago. And every other card, it seems like the autographs have sustained the market. But everything else, the speculation, and I'm wondering, and you could probably pinch in on this, I'm wondering where does that confusion comes from? Where does confusion on prices? Is it because we already know the result of the season? Max Verstappen is going to win his second straight world championship. Everyone knows that. He has 116 points as we speak in front of Charles Leclerc. And we know that, you know, Ferrari with their strategy. We're talking about F1 strategy show. Well, probably that Mattia Binotto should join the show here to know how to strategize for F1, because Ferrari have been struggling so bad in the past races, costing Leclerc the championship pretty much. So we don't see any other current driver on the grid prices going up. If you look at the market of Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz, Pierre Gasly, and everyone else, Even Verstappen himself, we don't see an increase that much in the past weeks. And I think this is probably because there's no speculation around who is the next talent in F1. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. I love that you brought that up, and the way you articulated it is perfect because first I'll talk about some of the data and then I'll give you kind of my speculation on why this might be happening to your point. So yeah, when you look at like the established drivers like Lewis, like you can see here in Market Movers, this is just a really, really quick, like shallow data dive, right? So when you look at Lewis, his 73 of his cards aggregated over the last 90 days, the price change is down 28%. And the reason why I kind of default to this type of search is because like Lewis and Max are the most well-known drivers. They're probably going to be the most liquid investments as drivers. And I like to go 90 days because like with the free version of Sports Card Investor, you get the last 30 days. But I think when you really start to look at the last 365 days, he's down 29%. The last 180 days, down 28%. Last 90, down 28%. That gives you, to your point, like more of a sample size of data as to where the market has gone for Lewis. And so, without digging into like each individual card, I think we can safely say that, okay, to your point, he is down. We could go look at Max, we could go look at Leclerc, and we could see that they're down too. I think that the reason why we're seeing this is kind of like twofold. I'll try to articulate it well. I think it's probably a maturation of the F1 card market because it goes along with the pattern that we've seen in other sports. So, for example, in 2021, we saw a huge spike in February across the major sports. We'll call it basketball, baseball, football, right? So, the American major sports. And then we saw a large drop off. Like consistent drop off over the next 9 months after, you know, 9 to 12 months post that spike in February of 2021. And I think the reason why we saw that was a maturation of those markets, meaning the more people that came into not just the hobby, but the niche of investing in cards and trying to flip cards and make money on cards in the hobby, we see people realize like they learn what's actually valuable. And so as people learn what's actually valuable, you see inevitably a decrease overall in the when you look at the large sample size of all the cards, because they include all of the base cards, all of the PSA 9s, all the PSA 8s, aka the less desirable cards, right? So you see people as they learn, they're able to be like, okay, well, I'm gonna just try to get out of this card because I've learned that this card isn't really desirable. So I'm gonna get out of this card. I'm gonna take a loss and I'm gonna go after the auto. I'm gonna go after like the things you see featured in the Slab Stocks newsletter, for example, which I think to your point is correct, is those things are holding up the overall market. Now I will say that it appears like, okay, so when I look at this, this is the last 90 days overall for racing. So when you go to Market Movers and you search sport racing, we'll filter out the NASCAR and the IndyCar people here. I don't think IndyCar really has cards, but the NASCAR does. So like you've got Michael Schumacher, who's the legend, right? So that's maybe notable. But you've got some other people in here. Like you've talked about Yuri Vips. Here's Oscar Piastri. You've got younger, you know, you've got other guys like Esteban Ocon, who, when you start to filter this data down into, let's just do this real quick and then we'll get back. I'll wrap up my point. You've got Mick Schumacher up here with 19 cards in the last 30 days going up a little bit. So your upticks in the market, to me, at a glance, appear to be more of your prospects, more of your either your young prospects or your more maybe legendary guys, you're more established guys. So you've I think that mirrors exactly what we saw with the maturation of the other markets that we just talked about. And so because of this, my educated guess, I could be wrong. I mean, I would love the audience reaction to this because a lot of the people in the audience actually know quite a bit more about F1, the sport, than I do. But from a strictly F1 card investment perspective, this sort of mirrors a pattern of, okay, people have figured out post spike of everything, post hype of everything F1, they've figured out what really is desirable. And the prices on everything else have dropped, which we see in the data. But the price of the desirable stuff is holding it up. And what do we, so now we say, what do we do next? Now it appears to me, some people are going Piastri, Vips, maybe even Pocher, maybe even Drugovich, maybe even some of these other guys. But they're also going like Fernando Alonso. You know, they're also going Valtteri Bottas. They're also going, you know, like your Esteban Ocons, like your more established guys that maybe there's opportunity for. That's my guess. What do you think of all of that? Do you agree, disagree, kind of agree?
Well, it's good to see that the market is back up for all of these drivers that are not the world champions, or actually the you know, postmodern world champions. So there's two. There's Lewis Hamilton and there's Max Verstappen. If people have interest in Alonso, if people, you know, draw interest in Kimi Raikkonen, we saw a couple of months ago.
There's Vettel in here too. Sorry to cut you off. There's,
Of course, Vettel, who announced his retirement, and as well as Michael Schumacher, Ayrton Senna, Jacques Villeneuve, all of these drivers. And a couple of months ago, some F1 collectors, F1 experts have as well predicted that the vintage, quote unquote, F1 market would rise. So it's a good thing to see that people still have interest in F1 cards and will have interest as well next year, because we might predict that the championship next year will be a lot more close, you know. That we won't have the champion crown with seven races to go in the championship, which is
that would
wild.
Be fun. That would be
but,
fun.
But when you look at the market, you still have some of these young stars. I'm glad to see that, you know, Ocon and Vips had movement, you know, prospects. Well, Ocon cannot be considered still as a prospect because he's been around for a while. But I mean, I'm shocked that ghastly speculation around where is he going to land next year? Is he going to land at Alpine seat? Sorry about that. We haven't seen much movement in there. Mr. Consistency this year, George Russell, who finished in the top five in every single race except one, where he had to withdraw from the race to actually go help Zhou Guan Yu, who had a violent crash. We don't see any movement up, and everyone knows that George Russell might be next year the world champion if he has a car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So and to the other point, we'll get onto Lando's market right after. But Oscar Piastri, you made a good move by investing in this guy, my man. I mean, he landed his seat in McLaren. And next year, make no mistake about it, this team, Lando and Oscar, it's going to be quite the team. Let's hope that they don't have a tractor as a car, you know, as they do this year. You know, it feels like they have a go-kart, and Lando is doing miracles in that car. And I'm guessing that people in the next set, I hope Nyck de Vries has a rookie card, because he's going to draw a lot of attention. But for now, I'm just surprised that even if the market stabilized, that the, you know, the price, the Lewis prices have come down. Ferrari's performances made Charles Leclerc market crash. I was going to say a little bit, but a lot, and stabilize back to where the other drivers are from. Why is George Russell's market not up? And the same for some other drivers.
Yeah. I think,
I mean, you said, sorry, let me complete my point. You said that Mick Schumacher's market has been going up in the past 30 days, but look at where the pricing was when the 2021 set was released, or his prices even at the beginning of 2022, end of 2021. If I'm not mistaken, he's still down globally, you know, year to date. So, Yeah, that's where we are. And I think that for investors, it might be a great opportunity if they buy the right card of the right drivers. So once again, autos, numbered colors, all that kind of stuff. And once again, for a lot of these drivers, Russell, Norris, Hamilton, Verstappen, all of these guys, 2020 will still be king. So if you can afford 2020 top scrum cards, go ahead and invest in this set. And for some other drivers like Yuki, Mick, if you want the official rookie card, Yuki, Mick, and Oscar Piastri as well, they're in this set. And the first Alonso card, because he wasn't in the 2020 set.
Yeah. So Drugovich is in 2020. I know that. Piastri's first card's in 2021. Is that what you were saying? Just want to clarify for the audience.
I'm pretty sure, yes. I don't know why, but this morning I didn't have two coffees yet. So I'm a bit confused, but I'm pretty sure, yes, that Piastri's only in 2021.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's right. I can verify that. So I do think there's a lot of opportunity. I think, again, it's like people have – this could just be like my optimistic – you know, naive point of view potentially, because I am new to F1 in general and F1 card investing, but I have invested quite a bit, to your point, in Piastri and have done my research. And so as I look at opportunity, Gasly's down like 50% through, you know, 20 plus cards over the last 180 and 365 days. So as I sort of toggle market movers, I'm not sharing my screen right now, but as I toggle market movers, I see he's just down. So there could be some opportunity there. Definitely opportunity with Russell, to your point. I think that you make a good point when you say, you know, if you buy the right card, then I think that's your way of also saying with good brevity what I was trying to say earlier, which is, I think the market has grown in size. When I look at the sales volume change in market movers versus the price change, the volume change continues to go up, but the price change goes down for a lot of these guys. And what that tells me is there's more and more people entering and buying F1 cards. And so as that happens, people have to be learning what to do. And so I think that indicates, like, what does the data mean to mean it to me? It means the learning is happening, which is causing the prices to go down overall. Mm-hmm. But as people learn what is actually desirable, so yeah, like George in the last 180 days is over 82 cards is down 41% price wise, but up 109% volume wise. So it's like he's selling more, but he's selling for less. And that's kind of the pattern with a lot of these guys, which again, sort of reeks of opportunity if you know how to find the right cards.
Which is a bit crazy though, for a guy that has been so consistent, arguably the best driver aside of Verstappen all year. I mean, he finished top five all season long, except one race once again. So it's crazy that his market is going down. Could you see in any other sport, let's say having, I don't know, a wide receiver, a running back, a quarterback that consistent all year, drawing, being down 41%. I know that probably we're still in the, you know, we're going to have to compare on the short term and not compare anymore to what the price were. Once again, the F1 bubble probably happened a year after the card COVID bubble. You know what I mean? So we see all of the GOAT pricing coming down in the past months. LeBron, the Kobe's, the MJ's even, all of these cards. But still up from pre-COVID. The only thing is that we don't have that kind of benchmark with the F1 market.
Exactly, exactly. And I would agree with you to the point that you make around, like, would you expect to see a wide receiver or running back or quarterback or whatever down 45% when they're that consistent? Absolutely not. Now, would I say, however, just a slight qualifier that I've seen happen in other sports is that when a guy establishes consistency, his things get baked into his pricing. And so then when he doesn't necessarily live up to maybe expectations, then his prices will dip, even though he's so consistent. And because F1 is such a different type of sport than the other sports, and so many people are new to it, I'm just trying to justify why maybe George's prices have gone down to that extent. Maybe it's because George is so consistent but hasn't won yet. And so that could be a reason why he's dipped. But let's segue into Lando in our last few minutes here, because I know you wanted to talk about him. Over the last 180 days, he's dipped even more than George. He's down 52% price-wise, 86% though he's up volume-wise. So his cards are moving at an 86% increase, but he's not moving at, but his prices are down 52%. So what do you make of that?
It's insane. I know Lando is the only driver as of now to finish on the podium that is not wearing a Mercedes suit or a Red Bull suit or a Ferrari suit. That is kind of crazy. So he's the only and you know, we changed the cars, we changed the rules, changed everything else to make sure we would have a better show, to give a chance to every single car on the grid to make points and be on the podium. And that just didn't really work out very good, right? So Lando is the only driver. As I said, he's doing miracles on that car, placing in the points consistently. But his market, even though to me, I've said it on this show how many times, to me, Lando is the future of the sport. The guy is funny. The guy is good looking. He's young. He has a whole e-racing empire he's building with Quadrant. He has his own brand. People in the UK love Lando, and he's one of the top three. And I would argue with anyone else, he's one of the top three talents we have on the grid right now. Even Lewis Hamilton said so. And his prices have... He's skyfalling still.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought, as you know, because we bought the same day F1 cards, I bought his Sapphire Portrait PSA 10 Rookie for $425 when the comps were at $500. I sent one to PSA with a bunch of F1 cards. They came back, and I haven't looked at the pricing because I knew it would hurt. But when I saw that the last comps were around $180, it's like, my goodness,
yeah,
what is happening? So the volume is going, why is the volume going up? Is that there are more people coming into the F1 market? And that's just a question I'm raising.
Yeah, I think it's that. But I also think it's more and more cards maybe being listed and having, you know, coming back from PSA, have, you know, being listed, maybe more and more people ripping.
It's just people trying to just, you know, let go of these cards. They're like, okay, oh my God, I see the prices falling. So people are panicking and selling.
I think it's that too. I really do. I think they're trying to move out of things that aren't as desirable, and they're just trying to get some cash back to buy things that are desirable. So, I want to ask you another question about Lando, but I want to acknowledge EJ Salazar to the show.
Yes, of course.
EJ, thanks for watching and commenting. We always love audience participation. So he says Lando's not ready to be a world champion. George and Leclerc are better suited at the moment. What do you think about that, Greg?
I agree about George. Of course, I think Lando's going to be a world champion one day. But George is probably a little more mature as of now. And second, also has a better car and team behind him. As of Leclerc, I don't think so. I don't think that Charles has in him what it takes to be a world champion. And that's just a personal opinion. We've seen it when he was facing in the first race when he was facing Verstappen, but under pressure. Yes, Ferrari has made tons of mistakes this year. Tons of mistakes. but Charles has been doing mistakes as well. Like he's twice, he's penned out of the blue, all alone on the track, twice. And these were costly mistakes that cost him points also in the championship. And these are mistakes that Lando doesn't do. But George, 100% EJ, thank you for your comment. You're absolutely right.
Okay, last question before we sign off, and I apologize, it's such a short show today, but definitely let us know what you think in the comments, and we're going to be back soon. Greg and I are going to come back soon and talk more F1. Don't worry about it. So Lando cards, buy right now then? I mean, because it sounds like he's a buy based on what you're saying, but I mean, buy the right card, right?
Depends on your time frame. If you're looking at something long-term, if you like Lando, just like I have tons of Lando stuff. I have his auto. I have an aqua variation of the 99. I have two PSA 10s as well. And I have a card he signed himself at the Canadian Grand Prix that one of my friend Glenn got from him. So
that's awesome.
So happy about that. So I have tons of his stuff. Am I going to sell now? No. So is he a buy? Totally. He's also a hold. So if you've been having Lando cards, don't sell right now. If some people are selling and if you want to buy to hold a year or more, because I don't think that these cards are going to go up this season, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm really glad you articulated it that way. All right, everybody. Greg, thanks so much. I've got a article coming out on sportscardinvestor.com, hopefully this weekend, maybe, called Five F1 Prospects to Watch for 2023. So I'm pumped about that.
Ooh.
Greg and I will talk more about F1 prospecting coming up soon and where that's headed. And everybody, would love it if you check out nooffseason.com and send us any feedback you have on the show. Greg, thanks again, man. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Paul. It was good, my man.
All right. Have a great day, everybody.